Amen. Well, hey, how many guys have ever experienced an illusion before? You know, so to speak. I mean, like, you know, you saw something with your eyes and you thought for sure it was something, but it turned out to be something totally different or just a big hoax. You ever like that? You know, for instance, you're in that drive-thru at KFC and you thought, oh, this is going to be some good food, and pff, that was an illusion. Okay, but seriously, let me show you how easy it is to be a victim of an illusion. Watch this.
Look at me, everybody! A one, a two, a three, abracadabra! Just a piece of card and hello.
This is what you should do when you see a dog in a hot car.
Timmy! No, Timmy! Come on, Timmy! I got you!
Bottle flip challenge.
Go on, then. Yes! Your girl! Oh!
Yay! Check this out.
Cannonball!
Okay, right. Get out of that. Here's the final piece.
No, it's too small. No, we're gonna need another piece. Timmy, can you cut me another piece up?
Yeah, and that's about as far as my dream of getting a Lamborghini is going to go. That's an illusion, I'll tell you what, but it's that obvious. But it happens, it's easy. But believe it or not, folks, that was kind of funny. But I tell you what, I think I found a time frame that people are going to wish was an illusion. Unfortunately, though, it's not. It's called the seven-year tribulation. Let's just take a look at one aspect of that time frame. Here's what the Bible says, Revelation 8, 10 through 11 and 13. The third angel sounded his trumpet, and a great star blazing like a torch fell from the sky on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. And a third of the waters turned bitter, and many people died from the waters that had become bitter. But that ain't nothing. Listen, as I watched, I heard an eagle that was flying in midair call out in a loud voice, "Whoa! Woe! Woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the trumpet blast about to be sounded by the other three angels." In other words, you think that's bad? You ain't seen nothing yet. Okay? You're going to wish it was an illusion being played upon you, but it's not. It's reality. Why? Because, folks, we're talking about the seven-year tribulation. The Bible's very clear. This is an outpouring. It's not an illusion. It is an outpouring of God's wrath coming to this wicked and rebellious planet for 7 years nonstop. Again, Jesus said what? He said this is going to be the worst time in the history of mankind, even worse than the flood. The first time God judged the planet. Right? It's going to be worse history. And that, unless God kept it, if you will, to just the 7 years, the entire human race would be destroyed. How many guys would say that's kind of bad? And you might want to avoid that time frame. Yeah, okay? And that's what we've been seeing. Praise God, God's not just a God of wrath. He's what? He's a God of love as well. And because he loves you and I, what's he do? He gives us heads up warning that this horrible time is coming so that, number one, if you're not saved, you need to get saved right now, right? Number two, if you are saved, stop goofing off in this world. Get busy as a Christian speaking up and letting people know that there's a way out of this mess. Amen? Right? So that's why we're going to continue our study, the final countdown, tribulation rising. Okay, now we've been dealing with so far the first sign, and that is the Jewish people and the Antichrist. And we've seen the first 16, that's right, 16, who's counting? I am. 16 times about the Jewish people, just the Jewish people, and their unfortunate relationship with the Antichrist, letting us know, guess what? We don't know the day nor the hour, but we're in that day. We're in the last generation, folks. It's getting so close. We saw the proof of that, that Israel, God predicted, would return to the land. They'd become a nation again. A nation in one day, a united nation as well. They'd recapture Jerusalem. Their currency would go back to being the shekel. They'd have a rebirth of the Hebrew language. They would blossom as a rose in the desert. They'd become a light unto the nations. They'd become a source of world conflict. They'd have a powerful military. They'd rebuild that temple. Remember that? Wow, 5 weeks on that. They become spiritually deceived, unfortunately. They placed their hope in a wrong Messiah. They placed their hope in a deceptive treaty. And if you were here last time, this sad, horrible news, Israel is going to face another Holocaust. Okay? Even as recent as what Hitler did, the Bible's very clear that the Jewish people are headed towards another Holocaust, very possibly even worse than the last one. The Bible says, we saw in Zechariah, says two-thirds of the Jewish people are going to be hunted down and annihilated by the Antichrist, okay? And in order for that to happen, we'd have to have people around the world wanting to kill the Jewish people. Is that happening again? Yes, and that's what we saw last week with the international anti-Semitism that is going on there. And believe it or not, people are being paid to hate the Jews. They're becoming millionaires. The more you kill, the more you get. That's going on today. People are also glamorizing Hitler today, who hated the Jews, and people are being brainwashed to hate the Jews. Remember that? We even saw little preschoolers. Little preschoolers are being brainwashed with glee, with smiles on their faces, to kill, to chop. Remember that little girl? Stab, 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 stab. The Jewish people specifically. Okay, this is why it's getting bad. This is why anti-Semitism is on the rise. And unfortunately, that's the mindset you need for people to go along with the Antichrist when he gives the order, get them, kill them. 2/3 of the Jewish people. It's here right now. That takes place in the 7-year tribulation. Praise God by his grace and mercy through Jesus Christ. We leave prior at the rapture. But man, it's all coming down the pike, okay? But I don't know about you, but it's a good thing we don't see any signs of anti-Semitism in America. Yeah, I'm using sarcasm. Folks, it is here and it is growing rapidly, just like the rest of the world. I wish it was an illusion, to be honest with you. Okay? Because the Bible says, and we know this, folks, the Bible says at one point, the whole world, all nations, which includes America, is going to hate the Jewish people. I didn't say that. Jesus did. Open your Bibles to Matthew 24. That's our opening text. Matthew 24. Let's take a look once again at the events of the 7-year tribulation. Jesus talking. The signs of his coming, of course, the coming that he's talking about is the second coming that happens at the end of the 7-year tribulation. He's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about his second coming. Okay? But let's take a look. Matthew 24. Let's go ahead and stand as we read God's holy word. Matthew 24, verse 4 through 13. What are going to happen? What are we to... We're not going to see it, but what's going to be the events of the 7-year tribulation? Well, let's take a look. Jesus' answer. What's the first thing? Watch out that no one deceives you. Why? Because many are going to come in my name claiming I am the Christ and will deceive many. You're going to hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you're not alarmed. Such things must happen, but the end is still to come. Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There's going to be famines and earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of birth pains. He's describing the events. If you look at Revelation 6, the first half of the 7-year tribulation, it's a parallel passage. Then he says, you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death. And the context here is the Jewish people, the people in the 7-year tribulation. He says, you'll be handed over and persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by what? All nations. How many nations? All nations, Jesus said, because of me. And at that time, many will turn away from the faith. They will betray and hate each other. And many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end of what? What's the context? The end of the 7-year tribulation. Again, not the church. We've been gone. He's talking about those people, certainly the Jewish people. We'll get to that in a second. God's remnant, okay, that make it to the end. They'll be what? They will be saved, okay? You may be seated. But again, what we're dealing with here, again, the events of the 7-year tribulation, of course, Jesus speaking here, okay? And he says that basically the Jewish people that make it to the end, they're going to be saved. Why? Because what do we see at the very beginning of our study? Is God done with the Jewish people? Absolutely not. He is not done with them, okay? He still has the eternal covenants, Abraham, Davidic covenants, that are still in play for today, okay? But what we saw is basically God is going to sovereignly protect 1/3 of them. If you were here last week, we saw in Zechariah that the Antichrist is going to annihilate how many? 2/3 of the Jewish people. Well, do the math, that leaves how many? 1/3, right? So 1/3 God is going to sovereignly protect. And this is what Jesus said as he leads up in Matthew 24. What he talks about, if you keep reading, is the midway point, the abomination of desolation. That's at the middle of the 7-year tribulation. Again, we saw last week, the Antichrist goes up into the rebuilt Jewish temple, declares himself to be God, and are the Jewish people going to go along with that? No way. Not even in their spiritually unfortunate state today, where they are currently rejecting Jesus as the Messiah. But their eyes are open with that event we saw. Then they finally get it, but it comes at a horrible cost. 2/3 are hunted down by the Antichrist. But God sovereignly protects 1/3 of them, and so guess what? They make it to the end. God's not done with them. And this is what we see in this text here, Revelation 12, God's sovereign protection of that 1/3, right? Revelation 12, 6-8, the woman, defined by the context as Israel, fled into the desert to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for what? 1,260 days. That's half of the 7-year tribulation. God is taking care of them in the back end. And there was war in heaven, and who? Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, clearly defined in the context as Satan. okay, fought against the dragon, Satan, and the dragon or Satan and his angels, the demons fought back. But he, Satan, was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. Okay? So turn to somebody and say, Satan's a loser. He is. He's just losing all over the place. Hello, praise God. Jesus is God, and he wins. He whipped him on the cross. Okay? But we see that here in the seven-year tribulation. Okay? But here's my whole point. I said all that to get that. Praise God. God's not done with the Jewish people. He's got a remnant. They're going to make it to the end. At the end of the seven-year tribulation, Revelation 19, we come back with Jesus. Right? And we, along with the Jewish remnant that made it to the end, okay, get to be a part of now the millennial kingdom. You see it? All fits perfectly if you just let the text speak for itself. But here's my point for you and I. What's our action point? We're gone prior to the seven-year tribulation when these events are taking place. But do we see, in fact, not just as we saw last week, international anti-Semitism? But wait a second. Jesus said how many nations? All nations. Do we really see that kind of hateful, murderous attitude even in America? Yes, and that's what we're going to deal with today. Let me give you just a few examples. Let's start with the government. This is a headline here. The U.S. State Department says no Jerusalem, Israel on U.S. passports, despite the fact that President Trump, obviously, as we saw before, recognized Jerusalem as Israel's capital when he relocated the embassy there. Remember that? So why are they still resisting? Well, get this, okay? And these are Americans born in Jerusalem. They still won't do it. And pro-Israel groups are saying, this is crazy. It's frustrating that the State Department ignores the fact that Jerusalem, first of all, is never mentioned in the Quran, and that Arabs face Mecca when they pray, yet Jews face Jerusalem. It's never been the capital of any country except Israel, okay? In fact, it's been that way for thousands of years according to God, U.S. law, and history, but according to the U.S. State Department, they say no. So the question is, even after what President Trump is doing, supporting Israel, why is this still going on? This is their words, not mine. Apparently, it is bureaucratic resistance inside the State Department. Can I translate that word for you? Swamp. That's part of the swamp. There's an anti-Jewish, anti-Semitism swamp in the government, okay? Now, let me give you some proof that the previous administration, okay, interfered and was definitely anti-Semitic. And this is the people that are still behind the scenes resisting what's going on. This is a headline here. Netanyahu fires back at the, quote, Obama army plotting his defeat. Watch this. Benjamin Netanyahu is demanding an injunction against the Obama U.S. linked group trying to swing the Israeli election. Well, there's your collusion. And it had nothing to do with Russia. Right? Watch this. Netanyahu stated that the U.S.-linked organization staffed with former Obama campaigners were working to defeat Netanyahu in the previous Israeli election. They hired a consulting firm whose senior leadership is comprised mostly of former top staffers for President Obama's 2012 election campaign. Watch this.
Now, next guest says, well, the Obama administration interfered in Israel's 2015 election. And by the way, they got away with it. David Rubin is with us, former mayor of Shiloh in Israel, and he's with the Shiloh Israel Children's Fund founder and president. But you know a thing or two about interfering with elections. Your charge is the Obama team did that with the Israeli election. How did they do it and what did they do?
Well, this was common knowledge in Israel. There were billboards all over the country that said, anyone but Bibi, meaning the Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. And it was widespread. And it only came out after the elections that there was an organization, a far-left organization, very pro-Palestinian, hence anti-Israel, called One Voice. And they were working together with another organization called V15, meaning Victory in 2015. And the One Voice organization received $350,000 from the State Department. And the two organizations joined together.
America's State Department.
The United States State Department during the Obama administration.
$350,000.
Yes.
To an organization which opposed Netanyahu.
Absolutely. And the election was a very intense election, and the United States government, the Obama administration, was on board with these two organizations that were fighting against Netanyahu. I might add one thing that's very important. There is a very clear link to the Obama administration because the head of the V15 organization was none other than Jeremy Byrd, who was a national field director for the Obama administration, for the Obama campaign.
They got away with it. If what you're saying was interference in a foreign election, then the Obama team got away with it.
Turn to somebody and say, there's your collusion. Wow. Out in the open, but nobody seems to be wanting to talk about it, except for a few conservative news outlets. But it's this kind of anti-Israel behavior. That's just one example, folks, that I want to show you. The previous administration is still there in the current administration holding back some of the positive things that could be happening for Israel. Even John McCain, which you know, who is not a pro-Trump guy, okay, he's since passed away, but he even said this: Israel's U.S. ties have never been worse than under Obama. He said, while the relationship between the U.S. and Israel has not always been excellent, any observer would argue they've never been worse. In fact, quote, no other president has had such a difficult relationship with the state of Israel since it became a country. And you're going, well, why? Well, if you do the detective work, this is a headline. I'm not making this up. Check it out. Quote, Obama's brother joins Hamas and says, quote, Jerusalem is ours. We are coming. It's now a known fact that Obama's brother, a guy named Malik, okay, he is in bed with the terrorists working in a terrorist state, an official organization created by terrorists. He's gone on record that he wants to spread Wahhabist Islam, which, of course, annihilate the infidels, which is who? The Jewish people, also the Christian. Okay, here's just one guy speaking out about it. Watch this.
So, a explosive story in WorldNet Daily, Jerome Corsi coming out and saying that Barack Obama's brother, Malik Obama, is linked to the Muslim Brotherhood. Not only linked, but he's actually running their whole entire like investment portfolio. According to the vice president of the Supreme Court, Supreme Constitutional Court of Egypt, a guy by the name of Tihani al-Jabali, he says, quote, to inform the American people that their president's brother, Obama, is one of the architects of the major investments of the Muslim Brotherhood, who has sympathies with the Muslim Brotherhood in office, who's literally meeting with Muslim Brotherhood operatives at the White House.
And you wonder why, as John McCain said, that was the most anti-Israel administration ever, the worst ties with Israel. I wonder why. You trace the trail, there's something going on there. Okay, furthermore, you do the research, this was wild. The funds that are attributed to this cause, watch this, is going to a 501c3 foundation run by Malik Obama called the Barack H. Obama Foundation, and guess who approved it 1 month after application? Lois Lerner. Do you guys remember the news? What was the big deal? She was the same former IRS director who was under congressional investigation for targeting conservatives and Christians. Folks, I've been through that process of nonprofit. We've been through as a church. It don't take a month. And this one went lickety. Oh, come on. Something weird's going on here, right? This is, and I bring all this up, folks, because this is the leftover anti-Israel, anti-Semitic swamp that is still in our own government. Okay? Okay? Now, again, just a little plug here. For those of you who haven't been going to our Wednesday night studies, you need to. This is a study we did a while back. Check it out. It's online. You can go get it. Okay. It's called Islam, Religion of War or Peace. Okay. And we go down deep. 8 hours dealing with what does Islam really teach? Is it a religion of peace, as they want us to believe, or war? And we specifically show how they're getting into our media, our government, our school system. We got interviews, the whole nine yards. We even have over one hour study just asking the question, looking at the proof, over 20-some video clips, is Barack Obama a Muslim, right? So you could check it out yourself, whatever, but please get that for more information. Now, again, some are saying it's because of the previous administration, and not just that one, not just Obama's term, but other anti-Israel behavior is, could this be why America has faced some disasters, okay? Let's take a look at some quote-unquote coinkydinks. Okay, every time that we go against Israel, are we being punished? Let's take a look. March 22nd, 1979, the Carter administration chose not to veto the UN resolution, which caused Israel to give up a tremendous amount of territory. 2 days later, the worst nuclear power plant disaster in U.S. history made headlines all over the globe, Three Mile Island. Remember that thing? 2 days after that. But maybe it's a coinkydink. October 30th, 1991, President George Bush Sr., he told Israel that territorial compromise is essential for peace. The exact same day. Remember the perfect storm? Right? Remember that? Well, that was brewing in the North Atlantic. It traveled 1,000 miles in the wrong direction, sent 35-foot waves slamming directly into President Bush's home in Kennebunkport, Maine. Take that. Right? All right. Oh, let's keep going. August 23rd, 1992, the Madrid Peace Conference moved to Washington, D.C. in the United States. Guess what? The next day, here comes Hurricane Andrew and caused $30 billion worth of damage. I'm sure that's just a quinky ding. January 16th, 1994, Clinton, he met with President Assad of Syria to discuss the possibility of Israel giving up the Golan Heights. Within 24 hours, that's when the Northridge earthquake occurred in Southern California. Maybe that's just a coincidence as well. January 21st, 1998, Israel Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, he comes over here to the White House. They basically snub him. Can you believe that? Basically snub the guy. President Clinton, and at that time Secretary of State Madeleine Albright, refused to have lunch with him. That day, guess what broke? The Monica Lewinsky scandal. Take that, right? You want to snub Israel? Not a good thing to do, right? September 28th, 1998, again, Secretary of State at that time, Madeleine Albright, she's working on finalizing a plan that would have Israel give up approximately 13% of Judea and Samaria. That precise day, Hurricane George slams into the Gulf Coast with gusts of 175 miles an hour. May 3rd, 1999, Palestinian leader Yasser Arafat supposed to hold a press conference to declare the creation of a Palestinian state with Jerusalem in the capital, here in the U.S., okay? Guess what? On that day, the most powerful tornadoes ever recorded ripped through Oklahoma and Kansas. At one point, the tornadoes actually recorded a wind speed of 316 miles an hour, right? When that was going to take place. April 30, 2003, the roadmap to peace. Remember that one? Okay, that had been developed, presented to Israel. Over the next 7 days, the U.S. was hit by staggering 412 tornadoes, the largest tornado cluster at that time. A couple more here. George Bush Jr., the president, he told Israel that it was necessary to remove all the Jewish settlers out of Gaza and turn it entirely over to the Palestinians. On that precise day, guess what came out of the Bahamas? Katrina. Okay, one of the costliest disasters in all of U.S. history. And finally, 2011, Barack Obama told Israel that there must be a return to the 1967, pre-67 borders. 3 days later, a half-mile-wide F5 multiple vortex tornado ripped through Joplin, Missouri. The costliest single tornado in history. Anybody starting to see a pattern here? Okay, not just Obama, but any time that our country goes against Israel, something weird goes on. You think it's by chance? I think it's because people aren't reading their Bible. Yeah, blow the dust off. Read me, will you? Okay. Why? Because as we saw before, at the very beginning of our study, dealing with the covenants, don't mess with Israel because God's not done with them, right? Genesis 12:3, God speaking to Israel, the people, I will bless those who bless you, but what? Whoever curses you, I will curse, including our own country, folks. We need to wake up to that. But this is why many are saying, okay, there's a lot of resistance, there's a lot of the swamp, but praise God, one of the best things to happen in a long time to our relationship with Israel has been President Trump. The Jewish people love him. Watch this.
Here are four reasons why Israelis favor Trump policies. One, the Iran deal would have allowed the Iranian Mullah regime, a world terror sponsor, whose stated goal is to eradicate Israel, to enrich uranium, and build a nuclear bomb.
I want that. Not good, not good.
President Trump and his team put an end to this madness. That took guts. Two, the UN has been pushing an anti-Israel agenda through its various arms, and we Israelis have been living with their pernicious lies. For example, UNESCO. Now, this is the UN body in charge of World Heritage Sites. But absurdly, they claim that the Tomb of Rachel, the Temple Mount, and the Tomb of the Patriarchs in Hebron are Palestinian heritage sites.
That's worse than fake news. That's fake history.
UNRWA. It's the UN body dedicated to perpetuating Palestinian refugees. Not only did they fail to settle the old refugees, they managed to create new ones by including their descendants in the same category, thus making sure that the problem will never be solved. Guess what? Under Trump, the U.S. pulled out of UNESCO, left the Human Rights Council, and defunded UNRWA. Three. So the Palestinian Authority allocates about $400 million annually to pay terrorists and their families. Pay for slay. The more Jews you kill, the more money you get. Finally, the U.S. administration has decided to stop handing over U.S. taxpayer money to these thugs. And finally, Jerusalem. For thousands of years, Jews have been praying to return to Yerushalayim, Jerusalem. And so we did. In his historic declaration, President Trump recognized this ancient fact and by moving the U.S. Embassy to Jerusalem, helped make it a reality today. That's huge! So, for these four reasons and more, it's hard for us here in Israel to see Trump as anti-Jewish or anti-Israel. And remember that when America blesses Israel, it gets blessed right back.
Maybe that's partly why certain things are going pretty good. All right. But unfortunately, it's not just the leftover swamp. It's the swamp is being added to. Let's take a look at what's going on currently in politics with anti-Semitism. This is an actual sign here. Both of them, they're top and bottom. It says, "With Jews we lose." This is one Senate candidate slogan in Kentucky, of all places, a guy named Robert Ransell. He's posting these signs, hundreds of them, whatever. And he said, quote, "Online, we've had a lot of positive feedback." In Kentucky, out in the open, anti-Semitism. Also, this guy here, this is a California Democrat delegate. He calls for Israel to be terminated. Kid you not, right? People right now, this guy right here, Hussam Alush. He's a senior official in the Council on American Islamic Relations, or CARE. And what they care about is bringing Islam. They're not assimilating to the United States. Again, get our study. They want to take over and they want to institute Sharia law, right? But that's what it means. That's CARE. And he's a representative of District 60 of California. He not only was a delegate to the 2012 Democratic National Convention, but his Twitter and Facebook pages state, quote, "For over 14 years, I've been a fundraiser and activist for the Democrat Party campaigns. I've also helped register thousands of new voters," and he works again for CARE in California there. Listen, he not only refers to the Israelis as Zion Nazis, but in a CARE email, quote, he said, "Indeed, the Zion Nazis are a bunch of nice people, just like their Nazi brethren." You got right now people who are being told you need to get out of office because you put black paint on your face, but this guy can call the Jewish people Zion Nazis and call for their termination, and he's still in office. What is going on? Okay, he also justified the actions of American Muslims joining ISIS. And he's still in office, right? You also got this lady, Democrat activist, this lady right here, Linda Sarsour. She says she wants, quote, "people to stop humanizing the Jews." Now, if you're not familiar with the Women's March, you need to, because it is full of anti-Semitism. She's a Women's March leader. She's a Democrat activist. She was arrested for civil disobedience during the hearings for Judge Brett Kavanaugh. She's obviously a Muslim. She's a supporter of Palestine, and she has made some radical anti-Semitic statements and positions. For instance, at the annual Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, in Houston, of all places, she called for, quote, "the dehumanization of Israelis," and later, guess who joined her? The young freshman, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. They both headline the 16th annual Universal Muslim Association of America. Both of them take stage to, quote, "promote women's rights." In Islam? Yeah, what? Despite the event, this is a direct quote, "despite the event being segregated," in other words, ladies, you got to stand over here, "and most of them had to wear the head guard." And you're there for women's rights? I don't think so. About a week after the event, Cortez, she goes to Twitter and she's praising Sarsour for what she did at the Kavanaugh hearings. And this is Cortez. She said, quote, "our future is a shared responsibility." What? You mean this anti-Semitism? I thought it was just this new Green Deal. Oh, there's much more going on, folks, behind the scenes if you're paying attention. And I'm just quoting headlines. I'm not making this stuff up. This ain't on wackyguyspiracyjoke.com, if that's even a website. Don't go there, right? But this is the headline. "Will radical Democrat freshmen turn the house against Israel?" A lot of the up-and-comers, folks, they're not just new. They're not just ladies, with all due respect. They're very anti-Israel. They're going into the government, right? Here's one, the first one, Rashida Tlaib. She's the first Palestinian-American to serve in Congress. Okay, she represents a district in Detroit with a large Arab population. She has avowed an opponent of Israel's existence. Okay, as you can see here at the top there, I don't know if you can see that, but that is her after she won the election victory. She's being draped, not in the American flag, the Palestinian flag. She supports the BDS movement, which is boycott Israel, remember that, to punish them. That, remember, they said that's a military crime to do business with them, and other anti-Israel beliefs. So now she's up and coming as well. Now, she's also joined with this lady, another Democrat, Ilhan Omar. She's the first Somali-American in Congress out of Minneapolis, and in her acceptance speech, she greeted the audience with a Muslim greeting, "Assalamu alaikum," however you say that. With a Muslim greeting, and of course the Muslims are, woohoo, they thought this was a homecoming. Now we got one of our people there. Omar, she's a fierce critic of Israel. Listen, she's called it an evil country that has hypnotized the world. I'll say it again. People are being, and I'm not condoning this, but people right now are in an uproar across the nation because somebody put black paint on their face. But this lady can make statements like that against Israel, and she's still in office. And nobody's saying nothing, right? In fact, even a Saudi Arabian news outlet said this, the common ground between Congresswoman Omar and Tlaib is that both are anti-Trump, especially as foreign policy on Iran and the isolation of the Muslim Brotherhood and all political movements of Islam. Well, yeah, because they're not good. And they chant all the time, death to America and death to Israel. And they are on record that they don't just want to kill Jewish people, but Christians. I think somebody should do something about it. But they're linking hands, working against him as well. Both are also allied with guess who? She pops in the scene again. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez from New York. She also said she, quote, wanted to end the occupation of Palestine. What? Watch this.
Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Rashida Tlaib, the three women who might change the mix in Congress, especially for Israel. Come January, pro-Israel groups in Washington will need to contend with three members of Congress who have aired harsh views on Israel. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, standard bearer of the new young Democratic left, who called the killing of Palestinians on the Israel-Gaza border in May a massacre. Ilhan Omar, Somali refugee on the cusp of representing Minneapolis in Congress, who referred to the, quote, apartheid Israeli regime in a 2012 tweet. Rashida Tlaib, set to be the first Palestinian American with a seat on Capitol Hill, who came out in favor of a one-state solution that could nullify a Jewish state. They represent deeper trends in U.S. politics, as support for Israel has declined among Democrats, especially, says a leading Israeli expert, since 2016.
Israel is associated with Trump, so Israel is not seen favorably as it was in the past.
The U.S. pro-Israel establishment is worried about the trend lines.
Sympathy for Israel has fallen. Sympathy for the Palestinians has risen among Democrats. There are now very little difference between those two. This is unprecedented.
Why am I bringing all this up? Let's back up before we continue. Matthew 24, Jesus said, in the seven-year tribulation, all nations will hate the Jewish people. What are we seeing in our own government and the political scene as we sit here? Major anti-Semitism, hatred against the Jewish people. It's rising up, folks. Okay, unfortunately, if you can believe that. This trio is also allied again with the Women's March. Okay, and they're also working with, I kid you not, Louis Farrakhan. Okay, so do the research, follow the trail, folks. They're all coming from the same anti-Semitic swamp. Okay, but that's politics. How about the media? Good thing the media is reporting on this. This is an actual headline. I'm not making this up. Media bias against Israel? Where do you begin? In other words, they keep their mouth shut. That's why they're getting away with it, right? The media's treatment of Israel has been Jewish states, one of their biggest ongoing problems, okay? It should be no mystery to the reporters, anybody that goes over there, that Israel is under constant pressure against many enemies that seek their destruction. Hamas in Gaza, you got Hezbollah, you got Iran to the north, you got the PLO that glorifies, as we saw, pays terrorists to kill the Jewish people and their families. We saw that they're inciting hatred, even with the little kids we saw last week, to murder the Jewish people. And yet, quote, that message rarely gets through. And I'm talking about our own media. What is going on? Let me give you a couple examples real quick. This is a CNN reporter who has been in Gaza for days. They were asked by their anchor in Washington, hey, did you see the same kind of fire emanating from the civilian locations, i.e. the non-Jewish popular? And they said, well, we were aware of it. You were there for 3 days watching it. And you just see no evil, hear no evil, right? Another example of biasness in the media. Remember Leila Gandor? That Palestinian baby that was supposedly died from the tear gas inhalations. Remember that? They blame it on Jewish people. It was reported later that, quote, the baby had actually died due to a heart condition, quote, and Hamas had paid the family to lie about the circumstances. And one guy says, okay, so now it's out. He says, try to find an outlet that will provide clarity to that accusation. You won't. There's biasness going on. And yet he says Hamas, Hezbollah, and Iran publicly call for and seek the destruction of Israel. Terrorists can strike Israelis anytime, ramming pedestrians with cars and bulldozers, stabbing people on the street, kidnapping civilians and soldiers. But the journalists here choose to give those who seek to destroy Israel a free pass. Real funny. You got your hand in that as well. Now, what's that lead to? You got it in your government, you got it in your politics. The media won't talk about it. It's spreading in our cities. This is America. I don't have time. I'm just going to read headlines for you real quick. 19 swastikas painted on a North Virginian Jewish community center. An anti-Semitic graffiti on Indiana synagogue. Jewish cemetery in Missouri vandalized. Attacks on Jewish cemeteries provoke fear in Philadelphia. American Jews confront a wave of bomb threats. Second Orthodox Jewish man attacked in Brooklyn in just 2 days. New York cab driver shouting Allah brutally beats a man 62. I watched this video. I almost shared it with you, but it's sick. On his way to a synagogue in the middle of the road in an anti-Jewish hate crime. Anti-Semitic hate crimes are up in New York over 94% from the previous year. Let's take a look at that.
I picked up the mail and looked up, and I saw the swastika. And to put it mildly, it was extremely shocking.
Elizabeth Midlarsky, a professor at Columbia University, is still shaken by this disturbing discovery in her office. Swastikas spray-painted across her walls.
How did it make you feel?
You know, it's hard to even say. It was like I didn't really think or feel anything except utter shock. I started trembling, and I'm still trembling.
This is just one of the many anti-Semitic attacks that have made headlines over the past month. To get a visual, here's a timeline of attacks in New York in just the past month alone. A month ago, a metal pipe was thrown through the window of a synagogue during a Shabbat service. Weeks later, two large swastikas and an anti-Semitic slur were found on the office walls of Professor Midlarsky. Later that week, two young Jewish boys were attacked on the street within 30 minutes of each other. And the most recent act of violence happened last week when a Jewish man was punched in the head. Here's surveillance video of that attack. He didn't see it coming. The Anti-Defamation League claims anti-Semitic incidents in the U.S. rose nearly 60% in 2017. And now the spotlight is on New York. The NYPD reports that last year there were 138 anti-Semitic hate crimes in the city. This year there were 176.
All nations will hate you. It's coming, folks. Florida man, he was hit with a hate crime charge for threatening to kill all the Jews. And, of course, we remember the deadliest anti-Semitic attack in our history in Pittsburgh. Watch this.
The investigation now in full swing as a city and a nation mourns. President Trump today in Indianapolis speaking about the horrific shooting.
This wicked act of mass murder is pure evil, hard to believe, and frankly, something that is unimaginable.
This is the most horrific crime scene I've seen in 22 years with the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Had it not been for the quick and heroic response, this would have been much worse.
Today's violence in Pittsburgh comes amid a rising number of anti-Semitic attacks across the country in recent years. Jewish centers in New York, Oregon, and Massachusetts vandalized. Arson at a synagogue in Nevada. And just this month, swastikas found in Northern Virginia.
In Omaha, Nebraska, a veterans memorial scarred with a swastika. In Indiana, a synagogue desecrated. In Sacramento, California, flyers targeting Jewish students on campus.
It screams of the same type of graphics and the same type of design that the Nazis used.
This is in Potters County, Pennsylvania, just a few months ago.
It's a complete disgrace. There's no place for hate.
The Anti-Defamation League reporting nearly 2,000 incidents last year, a 57% increase.
Wow. One guy said this, the worst hasn't happened. It's coming. The age of innocence is coming to an end. America is changing. The same forces that made Obama have also made Farrakhan relevant once again. Muslim migration will transform America the way it did with Europe. What did we see last week? It's out of control. It's coming here too. He said, quote, the cities are going to feel it first, but they won't be the last. It's being spread. What did Jesus say? If you could believe this, even as recent as what Hitler did, in the 7-year tribulation, all nations, including America,
are going to hate the Jewish people. It's coming back again. Can you believe this? And again, so you might be thinking, well, why? How? This is crazy. I mean, yeah, it's been kind of messed up in the past, but in general, we've had a decent track record, with all due respect, with all due respect, except for the previous administration. There are other ones still, as we saw, made decisions against Israel. But we've had a pretty decent track record with Israel, and we're supposed to be a Christian nation. I mean, how could this be? Two things real quick. I'm going to show you why it's getting worse and why it's going to get even worse. Because we're not shutting the sewer pipe that is generating this mindset. And the first one is our educational system. The American schools, folks, we've talked about this so many different times, they have been hijacked. They've been hijacked by atheists, liberals, people who are anti-God, anti-Israel, okay? And they are pumping out a whole new generation of people who want to, say, get rid of the Jewish people, right? Let me give you a quick couple examples of that. A Pennsylvania high school teacher, Pennsylvania, come on. A guy named Sam Schindler. He is not only lying to his students about Israel, okay, making up lies about Israel, making Israel looking bad. He admits he's lying to them, but he even admits, here's the results, quote, he boasts about it. The class collectively reached a universal conclusion about Israel and Palestine. The oppression of the Palestinians is not sustainable, nor is it justifiable. He admits he's lying to them, but he's excited about the results. He's turning them against Israel. That's just an average high school class in America. A Wisconsin high school student, they recently proudly displayed this photo. They're giving a group Nazi salute. This is their prom photo. Still in headlines. You can check it out, folks. It's sick. Okay? And this went out back on social media a few weeks after the Pittsburgh synagogue shooting. Okay? It's gross. In America. In schools. A University of Michigan professor, girl comes up to him recently, said, I need you to write me a reference thing so I can go make a trip over to Israel. He said, absolutely not. He said, listen to this. As you know, many university departments have pledged a boycott against Israel in support of the Palestinians. And so he says, which includes writing letters for you to go study. So he says, no. And this exact same professor endorses visits to communist China, Cuba, Saudi Arabia, and the PLO. But I won't let you go over to Israel. This is going on in our universities, okay? The American Studies Association, the ASA, has jumped on board with the BDS and are pledging support. This is an American educational system, pledging support programs designed to, quote, eradicate the Jewish state. Another headline article, if you want to go check it out yourself, it's entitled Hating Jews at Berkeley. And Berkeley right now, the Student Labor Union is voting on, quote, whether the state of Israel should even continue to exist. Another article says, your tax dollars at work, quote, inciting the next generation of Israel haters on campus. And they're admitting that we are paying for these programs that are pumping out these anti-Israel, and not just anti-Israel, people who hate them and actually want to see them killed. Here is one student, this is a girl, in an American university. Watch the hatred that spews forth from her mouth. She's talking to a Jewish man who came to give a talk. Watch this.
Yes.
Good evening. I just wanted to say thank you for coming to campus tonight and presenting your point of view. It's always valuable to have two sets of views going on at the same time. Very useful. My name is Jumana Imad Musa Ahmed Al-Bahri. And I'm a student here at UCSD. I was reading your literature. I found that much more interesting than the talk. And I found some interesting things about the MSA, which is an organization that's very active on campus, and it is hosting our annual Hitler Youth Week. You should come out to those events. If you could clarify the connection between the MSA and jihad terrorist networks, because last I checked, we had to do our own fundraising, and we never get help from anyone. So if you could clarify the connection between UCSD's MSA, or if you don't have such information, if you could connect other MSAs on UC's, because the connection wasn't too clear in the pamphlet, just if you could clarify.
Okay. Will you condemn Hamas here and now?
I'm sorry, what?
Will you condemn Hamas?
Would I condemn Hamas?
As a terrorist organization, genocidal organization.
Are you asking me to put myself on a cross?
So you won't. I actually have had this experience many times. You didn't read the pamphlet because the pamphlet is chapter and verse. The main connection is that the MSA is part of the Muslim Brotherhood Network as revealed in the documents.
I don't think you understood what I meant by that. I meant if I say something, I'm sure that I will be arrested for reasons of Homeland Security. So if you could please just answer my question.
If you condemn Hamas, Homeland Security will arrest you.
If I support Hamas, because your question forces me to condemn Hamas, if I support Hamas,
well,
I look really bad.
If you don't condemn Hamas, obviously you support it. Case closed. I had this experience at UC Santa Barbara where there were 50 members of the Muslim Students Association sitting right in the rows there. And throughout my hour talk, I kept asking them, will you condemn Hezbollah and Hamas? And none of them would. And then when the question period came, the president of the Muslim Students Association was the first person to ask questions. And I said, you know, before you start, will you condemn Hezbollah? And he said, well, that question is too complicated for a yes-no answer. So I said, okay, I'll put it to you this way. I'm a Jew. The head of Hezbollah has said that he hopes that we will gather in Israel so he doesn't have to hunt us down globally. For it or against it?
For it.
Thank you. Thank you for coming and showing everybody what's here. And you're wearing a terrorist neckerchief.
You wonder why you send your kids to secular universities today. They come out not just anti-God, anti-Christian, but they come out like that, anti-Israel. We're not shutting the sewer pipe off, okay? But folks, there's another reason why, as we get ready to close, it's coming from the church too. The church is guilty of this. Number one, I'll just challenge you. If you're watching online, if you're visiting, with all due respect, if you come from another church, let me challenge you. When's the last time your pastor, with all due respect, preached a sermon on hell? When's the last time you even mentioned the word hell? When's the last time that you heard a sermon on sin, backsliding, repentance, God's wrath? When's the last time you heard a single sermon, a study on Bible prophecy that equips us to understand the difference between Israel and the church, that God is not done with Israel? When's the last time? Never. Guess what? You're guilty of keeping your mouth shut. But on top of that, there are people in the church who will talk about Israel, but they promote this lie called replacement theology about Israel. And that's another big thing. Right? As we saw before, that is the false belief that somehow they spiritualize the text and want to say that the church has replaced Israel, that God is done with them. That is so unbiblical, it's not even funny. As we saw real quick, the reason why is because the Bible explicitly promises that God's covenant with the Jewish people is eternal. Right? Okay, number one. Number two, the New Testament explicitly states the Old Testament promises and covenants to Israel are still in possession of Israel, even during this time. We call the church age in their state of unbelief. The Old Testament teaches explicitly the future permanent restoration of the nation Israel, and we're going to be with them in the millennial kingdom. The New Testament affirms this, the future salvation and restoration of Israel, and nowhere in the New Testament is the term Israel used for those who are not ethnic Jews. There is no biblical basis for identifying the church as the new Israel. Okay, it's unbiblical. And here's the rub. If God can break his covenant with the Jewish people that he said was eternal, then we cannot trust him with our eternal covenant we call the new covenant. Amen. You have to be consistent. But this is what these people do. They spiritualize the text. Oh, no, God's done with the Jewish people. Well, if he's done with the Jewish people, who cares if they get murdered? I'm talking about the church, folks, not the world. Now, as we get ready to close, folks, I'm going to give you a couple of recent examples. Now, most of these people profess to be the church. I'll just bluntly tell you, the bulk of who I'm going to read, they ain't part of the church. Okay? Whether it be Roman Catholicism or the Eastern Orthodox, it's all works-based religion, blah, blah, blah. Again, get our studies from Wednesday night. We did a 12-hour study just on Roman Catholicism. But let me give you an example. The Vatican, the very day that Israel became a nation, they, quote, said, modern Israel is not the true heir of biblical Israel. And even recently, the bishops are calling to abolish the concept of the promised land and chosen people. That ain't Christian. It's because you're not Christians. Egypt's Orthodox Church said, quote, modern day Jews are not God's chosen people, and that Israel's liberation of Jerusalem, which was fulfilling prophecy, they said was a rape and a ritual crime. That's the Egypt's Orthodox Church. The Greek Orthodox Church in Jerusalem, listen to this, says you and I, evangelical Christians, they call us Zionist Christians. They say we do not belong to Christianity and we have no connection to the values of Christianity. What? The Church of Scotland, listen to this, says that the when the Bible mentions the Promised Land, it's not a place. It's a metaphor of how things are they ought to be. It could be built anywhere. And of course, they redefine what it means to be Israel, the temple, and Jerusalem. The Anglican Synod, they have removed the word Zion and Israel from their Psalter, their Psalms. The Presbyterian Church is considering banning the word Israel from its prayers. And one guy said this, you realize this has happened before, quote, in his war against the Jews, Adolf Hitler instructed Christian theologians to rewrite the Bible to remove all mention of the Jews. And it's being done today. They said this barbaric spirit is still living on in liberal Christianity today. The United Church of Christ recently passed a bunch of resolutions, 17 of them, that they say all their churches and leaderships have to follow. 17 of them are anti-Israel. As one person said, this is not surprising. It's one of the consequences of the lie of replacement theology. One person said in that congregation, quote, people were horrified by these resolutions, outsiders, and from other denominations. They said they hoped that the, quote, people in the pews would rise up and revolt against that. Quote, this turned out to be fantasy. And we better wake up even as evangelicals, because there's institutions out there who are trying to get us to go along with this ecumenical movement and turn us against Israel. Now, one of the big ones out there, you need to pay attention. Chalk this up into memory. It's called Christ at the Checkpoint, okay? Saying that they're this Christian organization here, right? And you take a look at them. They not only recently had their meeting in Oklahoma condemning us, quote, Christian Zionists, okay? But they're against the, quote, occupation of Palestine. Obviously, you need to get rid of the Jewish people. One of the speakers was a guy named, listen to this, Reverend Dr. Stephen Sizer. He even claimed that Israel, these are supposed to be Christians. He even claimed that Israel was behind the 9/11 terror attacks. He previously attended a conference in Iran that was dedicated to denying the Holocaust. And he also attended a pro-Hezbollah rally in London. And they're coming specifically to the evangelical Christian, not the ones I mentioned first, you and I, trying to get us to go along with it. And one person said, this attack is simply anti-Semitism on disguise. And finally, if you don't think that this lie of replacement theology affects people's behavior towards the Jewish people, and I quote Robert Bowers, the man who was responsible for the Pittsburgh massacre, the Jewish people there, quote, he quoted replacement theology to legitimize his anti-Semitic beliefs as he murdered 11 members of the Jewish community. It has consequences. 2,000 years ago, Jesus said, can you believe this? All nations are going to hate the Jewish people in the 7-year tribulation. So in order for that to be fulfilled, we need to see that happen, unfortunately, even here in America. Is it happening? Even in the so-called church. It's a repeat of Hitler's days. And folks, this is why Jesus said when these things begin to take place, you better stand up and lift up your heads because your redemption is drawing near. Right? The point is this, if you're sitting here and you're not saved, I don't know your heart, but God does. You better get saved, man. Amen. We don't know the day, we don't know the hour, but the 7-year tribulation, the rapture could happen at any moment and you're left behind to face the worst time in the history of mankind. This is not a game. God loves you. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to do everything for you. It's a gift of love and mercy. Call upon his name. Ask him to forgive you of all your sins. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave. The Bible says you will be saved. That's the point for you. But as Christians, may we never make that same mistake. We need to be speaking up. We need to be sharing the gospel, number one, to anybody, Jew, Muslim, I don't care who. But we need to speak up against this evil, against the Jewish people. Because the last thing you want to do is repeat history and keep your mouth shut like this church did. We'll close in prayer after this.
This dream has haunted me for decades. There are some things that time does not erase. Sometimes the only way forward is by facing the past. This is my story. I lived in Germany during the Nazi Holocaust. A railroad track ran behind our small church, and each Sunday morning at the exact same time, we heard the whistle from the distance and then the clacking of the wheels moving over the track. It was at the same time every Sunday. We felt the rattling from the trail of cattle cars, accompanied by the screeching of metal that would echo through our church walls. It was a Sunday in the spring that would change my life forever.
Jesus said, "Do not resist an evildoer. But if anyone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other also. Loving your enemy. This is a far better way. This is how we were called to live. To understand this unnatural virtue, we must look to Jesus Christ as our model and our guide. His meekness was his strength. His silence, his statement to the world. We must pray for those who persecute us. Prayer is the mechanism that reaches heaven and moves mankind. Prayer. It's easy to underestimate prayer.
Wiederbrachst. Er ist aus des Todes. has to. He has to.
Have passed and no one talks about it much anymore. I still hear that train whistle in my sleep. I can still hear him crying out for help. God forgive all of us who called ourselves Christians yet did nothing to intervene.
How's it go? Those who don't learn their history are doomed to repeat it. That's a so-called church, and that really happened. Just sing a little louder. Ignore it. We won't have to deal with it. How about us? We've had the privilege of going 20 weeks on the Jewish people. And what God says about them and their future that is coming that we get to be a part of. Are we going to do something? Are we going to say something? Or are we just going to sing a little louder? Let me show you how that looks like. Hey, the Jewish people, they're being singled out. They're being picked on. Look at what's going on in politics, in the government, in the cities. And where we got to speak up. We got to defend them. We got to say something. Come on! What are you, big alarmists? Wait, listen, the game is on. Sing a little louder, will you? Hey, we got to get the gospel out. We got to get it to certainly with the Jewish people so they don't have to go into this future Holocaust that the Bible's clear about. We got to witness to the Muslims. Frankly, we got to witness to anybody we can. We got to say, hey, listen. I got stuff to do. I got to go home. I got chores to do. I mean, Monday's coming. Come on, it's busy. What are you, a fanatic? Sing a little louder, will you? I'll give you one more. My church, what are you talking? What are you guys, one of those wacky conspiracy people? What are you there to freak people out with this kind of stuff? My church, we never talk about prophecy. We don't talk about hell or sin or none of that stuff. We certainly, who cares about the Jewish people? I mean, I'm here to learn how to be a better me, to build up my self-esteem, to be financially successful. We don't talk about this stuff. You know what we do? You sing a little louder. That's what you do. Because that's what you're doing. Because this is all going on right now. As we close, I'll say it one last time. Two things, Christians, we need to be doing in these last days. Number one, we need to speak up against this evil, any evil. Certainly the evil towards the Jewish people. And number two, we need to get the gospel out. Because there is a way for the Jewish people to avoid this future Holocaust if they get saved now. Just like anybody else. Amen? That's what we need to be doing. But that's right. Before we go, Lord willing, the second sign we're going to begin dealing with in the final countdown, tribulation, rising, steady, is modern technology and the AI invasion. That's what we're going to be dealing with next. Hopefully, we'll still be here if the rapture hasn't already happened. Amen?
Well, hi, this is Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries, and I hope you were blessed with this study. But in closing, let me ask you one final question. If you were to die today, are you sure that you go to heaven and not hell? Before you answer that, let me share a couple things that the Bible says. Did you know that the Bible says that God is holy and that we are not? And the wages of our sin or unholiness is death? In other words, we deserve to die and go straight to hell and be separated from God for all eternity. This is the great cosmic dilemma. God, who is holy and we are not, how can we have a relationship with him? The two will never mix. Now, to make matters worse, we don't even want to admit this, even though God already knows he's God. And so God, out of love, gave us something called the Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments were not something to just memorize or stick on your wall to give the appearance of being a religious person. The Ten Commandments were God's divine x-ray, if you will, into our heart and soul to reveal this truth that we need to admit. And that is this, that God is holy and that we are not. We are disqualified for heaven. So let's take a look at that divine x-ray that God's trying to get us to realize. The Ten Commandments, the ninth one says, you shall not bear false witness. That's lying. Okay. How many guys have ever told a lie? Raise your hand. Okay. Well, if you didn't raise your hand, you just did. You just told a lie because we've all done that. Well, that makes us a liar. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not steal. Don't ever take anything without permission. How many of you guys have ever done that? Well, you guys already said you're a bunch of liars. All of our hands should have went up on that one. If we're being honest, God already knows. Folks, we've all taken something. We've stolen something, right? That makes us a thief. Another Ten Commandments says that you shall not use the Lord's name in vain. He's not just holy. Even his name is holy. Hey, folks, let's be honest. If you can believe it, even the name of Jesus Christ has been turned into a common cuss word. Well, the Bible says that's a sin of blasphemy. Now we're a blasphemer. The Bible says you shall not commit adultery. And Jesus said, here's his standard. Even if you look at another person with lust in your eye, you committed adultery in your heart. Wow, so now we're an adulterer. The Bible says you shall not murder. And you might think, well, hey, at least I haven't done that one. Really? Again, the Bible says that the sin of hatred, wishing somebody was dead, okay, that's the same thing. It's akin to the sin of murder. It's just you pulled the trigger in your heart, but God sees the heart. Hey, folks, that's just 5 out of 10. How are you doing? You still think you're going to get to heaven on your own? You still think that you're qualified, that you're holy like God, and you could bridge the gap and have a relationship with him forever? I don't think so. I mean, what did we just see? You're going to stand before God, and so am I. We all are. And we're going to have to give an account for who we are. Hey, God, let me in. I'm a liar. I'm a thief. I'm a blasphemer. I'm an adulterer. I'm a murderer. And the scripture is very clear, folks. Such people as these will not inherit the kingdom of God. We're in trouble. But folks, here's the good news. The Bible says that if we would just admit that's the first step. To admit that God is holy, that I'm not, I'm disqualified for heaven, I need a Savior. If we would admit that and then ask for the Savior to save us. That's what God was doing with Jesus. God gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. He took the death penalty in our place, so that we could be completely forgiven of everything we've ever done and be made holy through Jesus, so that we can now have a relationship with God, both here and now and forever in heaven. We can become qualified. The word that the Bible uses is a word called pardon, that God is willing to pardon us of all of our sins and crimes that we've committed against Him and disqualified us for heaven. Right? And we've actually seen this work in real life. For instance, there's been people who have committed crimes, gone to court, the gavel's been passed, the judge has said, hey, listen, we all know you're guilty, you even admit you're guilty, and for your crimes, you're going to not just jail, you're going to await in jail to go to the death penalty. And did you know that there actually is a way that somebody could get off of death row? It's called a pardon. The one in the authority, the governor, can grant what's called a pardon for that person's crimes, and they literally can go free. Not because of something they did, because the deeds are already done, you can't undo it. Not because of they tried to clean up their act while they were stuck in the jail cell, because that doesn't change anything. But simply out of mercy, the person who has the authority can give them a pardon, and they can go free. And did you know it's actually on historical record that there have been people who have been granted a pardon from the death penalty and they've refused to take it? And so even though the offer was there to be set free, they themselves still had to go to the death penalty. Folks, in a nutshell, that's what God's doing every single day with all of us this side of heaven. While you still have breath, you still have an opportunity to receive God's pardon. He's willing to forgive you of all your sins if you would just receive His pardon through Jesus Christ. Again, that's what He was doing on the cross. The cross was the death penalty of the day. But since we weren't there, and since we can't earn it, it's a gift from God, you have to receive that by faith. Reach out even today from your own spiritual jail cell, if you will, and say yes to Jesus and God's pardon so that you could be set free and go to heaven. The Bible says that if you will confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the grave, you will be saved. Hey, folks, if that's you, don't delay. You may not even have tomorrow. Today could be your last day. Please accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Confess with your mouth he is Lord. Believe in your heart that God has raised him from the grave. And the Bible says you will be saved. Well, this has been Billy Crone of Get a Life Ministries. If there's anything that we could do for you, our information and number will come up here shortly. And please don't hesitate to contact us. But remember, I hope to see you in heaven. God bless.